Evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2, Tango, 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 and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations on frequency with emergency or priority traffic? Please call KTBAR.
N2OEL disconnected.
We just got here. Dang. Alrighty, well, we'll figure his problem out later. What the hell did I do here? Oh, I see. Alrighty. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955 MHz. The 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. This net is open to all radio amateurs. You do not need to be a member. We encourage you to participate in the net. The frequency can be accessed several different ways. One is by using a minus 600 offset, and the other, and also with a tone or PL of 141.3. That's 141.3 hertz. Or via Echolink at K2 Foxtrot Juliet. That's K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L for Lima. And that will get you into the net as well. We will have a special check-in time for the Echolink stations. This net is about having a conversation about amateur radio, telecommunications, computers, electronics, electricity, how we apply everything, natural phenomena, that underlies everything we do, all sorts of fun and games. So you're welcome to talk about the science, what we've done with amateur radio, what we would like to do, what went well, what we didn't do well, our aspirations and our heartbreaks. All that stuff can all come out. And hopefully we'll have a bit of sharing and learning and be better for the experience. It's a really wonderful hobby. There's a lot of different aspects to amateur radio, and they can all be discussed here. So, with no further ado, you might want to know how we check in. We check in by issuing our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, or for sale or swap item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. You might ask, well, gee, why would I want to check in if it's none of the above? Because you're part of the community and we need to know you're there so that we can focus on topics that are topics in a way that we think you'll understand. And based on our past and evolving experience with you, we'll be able to figure that out and make a more enjoyable net for not only you, but perhaps other people who might be coming in. So that's the name of the game and why we do what we do and how we do it. So with that in mind, we'll do it by call sign groups. Let's start with November is tonight. Any station whose call sign begins with the letter N for November, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name. Indicate whether a question, comment, for sale or swap item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
N2OEL disconnected. N2OEL disconnected. N2OEL disconnected. Connected. N2OEL.
Well, I just have to let him go. N2OEL, go for it. Even though we're not doing echo links right now, we could be. What the heck? Why not? Go ahead.
This is N2OEL. No questions.
Okie dokie. Mr. Noel is up in western New York in his northern accommodation, his palatial estate in not far from where he grew up, which is pretty cool. Well, not terribly far compared to here anyway. Alrighty. Any other stations on Echolink while we're here? Alrighty. All right, any other November stations on the local repeater, please call K2BAR. Alpha Station then. Alrighty. How about Kilo 2s?
K2BIE. George? No questions. Good evening, Gordon.
Evening, George. Good hearing you. Any other Kilo 2s?
2EIR, Maui in Tarrytown. One comment.
I got Howie in Tarrytown. Who else doubled with him? Station of doubles with K2EIR, go. All right, any other Kilo 2s?
Here's K2AMI, Tony, with a comment.
AMI, Tony, good evening. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilo 2s? Any other Kilos?
KO2, okay. Bennett, no questions or comments at this time.
KO2, okay. Good evening, Bennett. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilo 2s, or any other Kilos, I should say.
KD2, CRB, Sue, with a question.
Evening, Stu. KD2, CRB. Very good. Got your question. And any other Kilos?
KD2DDK, Gary, just listening.
Evening, Gary. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilos?
KF2ID, Ben, what a question.
KF2ID, gotcha, Ben, with a question. I guess it's about that Aereo. Maybe not. Maybe something else. Maybe it's both. Alrighty, any other Kilos?
KC2ZMA, Marco, no questions or comments.
KC2ZMA, we good evening, Marco. Alright, any other Kilos? Okay, how about whiskeys?
WA2UMP, good evening, Gordon. Jim in Pearl River, New York, with a question.
All right, I got you, Jim, with a question. Who was the station just doubled with you?
Whiskey 2, Papa Delta, Quebec, Richard, just listening in tonight, Gordon.
Good evening, Rich, very good. Do we have W2JEK in there?
W2JEK is here with a comment.
I thought we might. Okay, very good. Got you, Don. Good evening, Rich, Rich as well. And also Jim. All right, so any other whiskeys?
Questions or comments at this time?
Hey, Hector, you want to try it again? And then we'll get to the station who you buried or who buried you, and, but I got nothing. Hector, you first.
W2 November Papa Radio, no questions or comments at this time.
Thank you very much, Hector. And who is the other station?
This is Uniform Sierra, Randy with a comment.
Good evening, Randy, with a comment. Gotcha. Boy, it's like we feast or famine. Last week it was like painful. This week, actually the week before was painful. We ended up talking 2 hours, so we got a good plate here so far. All right, any other whiskeys? Okay, let's see. I did Novembers, I did Alphas. Or did I do Alpha? Yeah, I did. Any station, any call sign type, please call K2BAR. Okie dokie, let's start off with W2JEK, K2BAR. Go ahead, Don.
K2BAR, and that's W2JEK, announcing that Barra will be running a VE test session on Friday, September 20th at 7 p.m. At the Westwood Regional High School on 701 Ridgewood Road in Township of Washington. Information for the location is on the Barra website. And anybody has any questions, they can ask me about it at this time. Back to that W2JK.
Okay, very good. Alrighty. Let's see. Anybody have any comments for Don about that?
N2OEL, timeout.
Okay, I guess not, Don. Anything else you want to add?
Nothing else at this time, Gordon. No, thank you.
No problem. K2AMI, you're next.
Okay, just want to wait for the drop. This is Tony, K2AMI, and I just want to alert everybody and remind everybody this coming weekend, with the beautiful weather that we're going to have on Saturday and Sunday, with comfortable temperatures and clear skies, we hope to have a very successful VHF contest. We'll be operating from Orangetown, New York, which is just over the border from Jersey, and we'll be operating on top of Carlson Mountain in a place called Nike Park. And we will be setting up equipment on Saturday morning up there, and hopefully be on the air by 2 o'clock on Saturday. Operate all Saturday night, all Sunday, until about 2 or 3 in the afternoon on Sunday. We don't do much more than a 24-hour contest, and we do have a lot of fun. It's a beautiful site. The weather conditions should be perfect. If you have never experienced a contest with a VHF group, you're welcome to come up and join us. There will be some food. That might be an enticement. Among the things that are important is that you can operate your 2-meter FM radio or your 440 FM radio or your 220 FM radio on the simplex frequencies and hope to make a contact with us up at the mountain. You don't have to have expensive sideband equipment. FM will work fine. And because of the altitude being around 700 feet up there, we can easily hear most anti-talkies in the Bergen County area. So please try to reach K2BAR as our call sign for the contest. Back to Ned. And if you have anything further to add, Gordon, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, K2BAR, right? Bravo Alpha Romeo?
Correct. I hope I pronounced it that way.
And maybe my older ears are now hearing something else, but okay. I don't want to repeat it for lack of, causing it, for a desire not to cause confusion, but okay, good. All right, so, driving around on 2-meter FM and 440 FM is really handy, and it's, very useful to be able to, set this up and, have a, a little fun driving around driving around Rivervale. If you're northeast, you're FN31. If you're southeast, you're FN30. If you're southwest in the town, it's FN20. And if you're northwest, you're FN21. That's literally how easy that is to do.
Hey, Tony, K2AMY would comment.
Hey, Tony.
Just to explain that when you do make a contact with K2BAR, you merely have to identify your call sign and what grid square you're in. Those four grids that Gordon just mentioned cover most of the area around this neighborhood, and most of the stations that are, below Westwood are in FN20. And those above the Westwood area, and again, I don't know the exact termination line, would be FM21. And towards Gordon's neighborhood, towards the east, it's FM30, and above Gordon, going towards the Rockefeller Center, Rockefeller Lookout, or upon Palisades, FM31. So grid squares are to be reported along with your call sign. You don't need 5-9s or anything like that.
Traffic. Traffic go? Sorry for breaking into the net, but just information from N2KTO, Sparta, New Jersey, Jefferson and Franklin area are all down with emergency power backup, trees and power lines all over the place. So if anybody has loved ones that are passing through the Sparta, New Jersey area, please get a hold of them and let them know it's a bit of a problem up here. Back to net, thanks. And to KTO.
Okay, very good, Dave. Thank you. Mr. D-Star and also Mr. Mesh. Very good. By the way, just FYI, Dave, I've got a mesh pie running with a 2-watt alpha Wi-Fi transceiver. It's very cool. And even though it's old code, it, with the SSID change, it works fine. Just thought you'd like to know. W2TTT. Take care.
Thanks, Gordon. I'll catch you later. N2KTO, clear.
Very good. And feel free to jump in here if you need another, if you need further assistance. W2TTT. K2BAR. Alrighty, let's go back to Tony.
Yeah, I think we covered most of the details. Tentatively, the one frequency we probably will be monitoring is 146.5800, and that's a simplex operation with no tone, 146.5800. Other frequencies are standard simplex frequencies, like on 220 it's 223.500. 223.500 is the simplex on 220, and 146.000 is the simplex on 432. Hopefully we'll be able to monitor all three frequencies.
Very good. Anybody want any follow-up questions or comments about that? Alrighty. Tony, you want to put any ribbons on it?
Oh, I'm finished.
Okay, well, whether you're going up to Clawson Mountain or whether you're going to meet at the garage or you're going to operate the, using FM, doing the loop, that's great. Feel free to work other stations during that period. It's nice to work just others, not just Barra stations. So that's also good. All right. Let's see. Tony, we got Tony's done. Got that. Randy, you had a comment. I'm doing comments first here. W2S is K2BAR.
Thanks, Gordon. Good evening to everyone on that. Yeah, the comment I have relates to finding and fixing a power supply problem that I've had recently, and the problem manifested itself by unwanted hum on the transmitting on this radio. So I figured there was a ground loop that was somewhere here in the shack. They rebuilt everything and a lot of audio equipment. And eventually, after a long process of elimination, that included running radio and battery, finally narrowed it down to the Astron RS-35M power supply that I've had used for culprit. So with some research that I did on the net, I found that, yes, indeed, this power supply not tremendously well designed, and in fact, has an internal ground loop caused by, in some models, a connection between the DC negative and the case, and the fix for this is simply to disconnect that black wire going from the DC negative, essentially on the top of the circuit or the top of the capacitor, going to a lug on the case, and that solves the problem. So, learned a lot in doing the research, looking at fixing it up, also going to make some significant improvements, power supply over the next few weeks when I get the parts in. But the source, best source of information I found on this power supply is at the Repeater Builders website, and there's a tremendous amount of knowledge about rebuilding these things. They operate not only better, but much more safely, and a safety improvement shortly. Whiskey Uniform, New Sierra, back to that.
OEL disconnected. N2OEL timeout.
Okay, very good, Randy. So, what model is that again of the of the was it Astron Power Supply?
Yes, it's an Astron Power Supply. This particular model is RS-35M.
All disconnected.
Okay, we got that Astron 35 RS-35M. The M stands for metered. It's a 35 amp power supply, and by doing this, the power supply will be more stable, perform better, and be safer to use. What a concept.
Yeah, the safety suggestions that they had are particularly intriguing, besides removing that unnecessary and, in fact, flawed ground. They also made suggestions about putting metal oxide barristers across the AC incoming supply, as well as a, I believe it's a thermistor to limit the inrush current. Oh, and one big thing that's missing on virtually, I believe on all of the Astron supplies, is a bleeder resistor that should be on the top of the capacitor, or sometimes there's two capacitors. The one in my power supply is a big fat 64,000 microfarad 25 volt capacitor, and I know from having shorted it out that that thing will hold a charge for several days after the power is off. So there really should be a bleeder resistor across the top, so when it's turned off, it will gracefully bring the thing down to safe charge. 120 back to net.
Just out of curiosity, what value do they recommend as a bleeder?
Well, there was one recommended as a 3,900 ohm 5 watt resistor, and that'll certainly work. But really, what you want to look for, and you can calculate this yourself. In fact, there's even a couple of places on the web with spreadsheets that help you calculate the thing. What you want to do is really figure out two things. The first is, how quickly do you want the capacitor to discharge down to a safe level? And of course, the way to do that is you know, some simple arithmetic that relates to the time constant on a capacitor, so you remember your general license TAM test. That's where the math comes in. And so you'd probably want the thing to discharge moderately quick, but not overly quick. And the reason for that, I'll get to in a second. So you'd probably want it to discharge over a couple of minutes, but probably something under 10 minutes. And it kind of relates to how fast do you think you can get the case open, removing the seven screws. And you'd really like the thing to be discharged by the time you actually got the case off and you can start sticking your fingers around in there. So probably 3 or 4 minutes would be appropriate. The other thing is that if you have it discharged too fast, you also have a value resistor that's very likely drawing too much current when the thing is in operation. So it's a trade-off between the two parameters. The way I looked at mine, I think I came up with a solution for mine. I think it was going to use either 1,000 or a 1,500 ohm 2 or 3 watt resistor, and that was a decent trade-off between discharge time and a fairly modest current draw when the thing is in operation of something like 16 or 20 milliamps. I figure I could afford 20 milliamps as wasted heat. Over.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, a second with the discharge time, I should say, for 70% of the power is 1 over the resistance times the capacitance. So 1 over RC gives you, 0.707 of the peak voltage. So figure
round numbers, 8 or 9 volts, probably 9 volts, will be discharged in, or potential will be discharged in a few seconds. But you'd need a very fat capacitor to do that. So if you're willing to wait, as you say, a couple of minutes, that'll be just fine to get the charge off and be done with it. But that's a lot of capacitance. That's a really big amount of capacitance. So you have to really think about that. Very good. Very, very good. Anybody have any questions on this topic?
Alrighty. Let's see now.
Thank you. Did you want to add anything else?
Just that it's more like about 20 volts DC across that capacitor, not 8 or 9, but the principle still the same. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to that.
You're absolutely right. Sorry about that. Yep, that's right. At that point, it's a little more beefy. Alrighty, very good. Before I go to the next question, I just want to reference that many of us gather at the Fairlawn Radio Club on Friday nights, and that's often good. I will not be there tomorrow night. I will be off on a scout trip, and we're going to talk about one of the things we're going to do on that scout trip in a little bit. But in the meantime, folks are also encouraged to join the Fairlawn Club. The symbiotic relationship between the two clubs, not just these two, but several others, including Chestnut Ridge and others. So if you use the repeater or you, like to come down on Friday nights, you might want to consider joining the Fairlawn Club in addition to Barra. And we're coming up on dues time, so... that's also good. One other announcement is that the Friday after Thanksgiving will be the Fairlawn auction, and I believe it's the second Saturday in October, is the Barra Ham Fest, which is going to be very exciting. It'll be over at Westwood High School in Washington Township. And so we've got a number of events coming up, one in October for Barra, November for the Fairlawn Club, and December for the Troop 139 and Boy Scout Troop 139 and Venture Cruise 7373 Ham Fest, which is an indoor ham fest in December. And people like KJI will be there, and Kathy Souter with all her connectors and parts will be there, and other such fun things. So it'll be good. So we've got a number of things. We've got one a month coming up, so that's all really exciting. Alrighty, moving right along. Stu, your question, KD2CRB, K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KD2CRB. Good evening, everyone. Gordon, as I mentioned, I'm focusing on the Anytone mobile unit, dual band. I was just curious if you know if there's any issues, with maintenance or anything like that, or have they had any problems just before I make my selection. Back to you.
No, but there is a review in QST that was pretty snarky, frankly. Number one, I didn't have as many of the problems that fellow had, number one. Number two, the characteristics that he chose to be snarky about, he begrudgingly acknowledged as, well, maybe it's a matter of perspective, meaning the amateur versus the land mobile radio perspective. And so there are some aspects to it like that, but no, I have not had, the performance issues and other nonsense that were in the QST review, that in the latest QST, I have not had the pleasure of experiencing quite at the level of the snarky reviewer. I think that's a problem when you're a 9 and you live in the middle of somewhere else. You don't live here where there's lots of stuff going on, and you're used to, we're should we say, a more eclectic bunch. I'll just leave it at that. But other than that, I haven't any problem. If anyone else had any issues with the Andy Town, please call KTBAR. Anybody want to comment? I think Gary, KD2DDK, don't you have one?
KD2DDK, I'm on the phone. I'm sorry, Gordon. I'll get back.
All right, we'll come back to you. When you can, just pop in. We want to get your perspective. Good. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, let's see. Stu? Other than I would encourage you to read the QST review and the current QST, just for your own reference. If you don't subscribe, if you're not a member of the league and don't get QST, either A, fix that, or B, go down to Advanced Specialties and pick up a copy.
Gordon, I just, in fact, I just got it the other day, so I'll take a look. You know, I was just curious, or if you ever had to send it back for maintenance, if there might be a problem, but back to you.
No, not at all. No, not at all. In fact, I'm very pleased with it. I mean, it's been in Nancy's car since we got it, or shortly after we got it. I'm pleased with it. She's pleased with it, you know. I noticed I set the squelch on the radio a little high, so I got to correct for that. But other than that, yeah, no agita at all. Yeah, simple recollection as to how to adjust the squelch will be definitely in order.
Okay, Harry, thank you very much. I'll hand it back to Ned.
Very good. Alrighty. Let's see, our next question is from Ben, KF2ID, K2BAR.
This is KF2ID with K2BAR. You said something about time content. I'm pretty sure I heard you. Did you say 1 over RC? If you did, that's not right. It's R times C. That's the time constant. Aside from that, one of my real questions was... does anybody out there use that antenna design program called NMAMA-GAL? The reason I say that is I tried to use it a while back, I had some problems with it, I just like to... talk to somebody. I'm not going to bring up the problems at this point. Don't remember if I. I just want to talk to somebody who used it successfully so that I can get some quick answers. My problems are generally cockpit problems, you know. I don't know. I was trying to do something very simple, I couldn't do it. I know the basics of it. I understand how the program basically works, what it's supposed to do basically do. I'm going to drop out.
And what was the program called?
NMAMA-GAL. It's a antenna design program similar to, the one that... they always talk about the ERL, I forget. But it's a much more powerful program. The antenna design program that's popular with the ERL number, just can't forget it. Remember at the moment, is has limitations on the number of elements you can put in. If you get the one that's free, you're limited to 10 elements. If you want to put in more elements, you have to pay for it, and it does other things too, which the other one doesn't do, I believe. And so it's really a more potent program, and it's free, so that's nice too. And so I would just like to get in touch with people who are familiar with it, particularly if they come down to the Philharmonic Radio Club. I can bring my computer, and we can work on it right there and then. That would be the best. This is KF2ID. with K2BAR.
Okay, Ben, very good, yeah. So, NMAAM-GAL?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with it, but it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful program. Is anyone else taking a quick look at it? I'm in the process of rebooting a computer, right, so I'm kind of at a disadvantage.
KO2 okay for comment.
Bennett, go right ahead.
I don't know that program, but the program that he's talking about for maybe the ARRL or first 12 light is probably EasyNeck.
That's right, EasyNeck. Just skip my mind.
Yeah, and EasyNeck is a derivative of LNeck, right?
Yep, sir.
LNeck's the old granddaddy of them all. All right, very good. Well, do keep that in mind, Ben. I don't think anyone's messed with it, but you know, I'll bet you if you bring it down to a meeting on Friday night, you might find that someone will just take an interest in knowing more about it anyway. So bring your laptop anyway.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I won't be able to do it this weekend because I have to do something else with the laptop, but that's a good suggestion. It's very potent. It's written by a Japanese fellow. The other big problem with it is that the instructions that you get with or can get with it is very, very succinct. I like short instructions that don't have a lot of verbiage, but this is ultra succinct. So that's the other problem. So I do it. It was great to be out.
Roger, roger. Okay. That's all good to know. So you heartily endorse the instructions, too. That's so rare. so rare. All right, very good. Let's see. Anybody else want to comment about antenna modeling programs and antenna design in general?
To EIR.
Howie, go for it.
Okay, I just want to say that, you know, I've worked with antennas and I just have never had enough, whatever it takes to put the rear of my bod down in the chair and work with the modeling programs. And it's that kind of thing where I want someone to show me. And I'd go to any radio club, I think, if there was someone good who was going to give an introductory or more session on modeling software, especially the free ones, because I don't want to spend money. But, you know, for example, NEC. I don't know if one mentioned is someone quite a while back gave me a reference to the one he thought was great and was free, and I downloaded it, but I never went anywhere with it. So once again, I'd love it to have a little class. So I'll just register that. if my own club won't do it, I'll go anywhere. I should say clubs. I already belong to two. I'll go across state lines to enjoy such a session. Let me also say before I let go of the push to talk that I did check in with a comment, but because someone doubled me, I think you missed that. K2EIR.
Got you next then, Howie. Very good. Yeah, well, Fairlawn on Friday nights is a good place to start. Yeah, that's, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on, both at the Fairlawn Club on Friday nights and Barrack Hit Night on Tuesday nights, and I encourage people to attend both. It's really a delightful opportunity for everybody. Over.
Roger. Well, for me, Friday nights is really a family night, and Tuesday nights the night my net's on. I'm net manager for the Rockland Repeater Association Tuesday night net, so I sort of have some difficulties with both. But once again, if there was a class, say on a Friday night, and I knew it was going to be a class on this and it was reputed to be worthwhile, I might make an exception and get there. K2EIR.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, I think there's an opportunity for a club to actually have, you know, maybe an opportunity to meet on perhaps a Sunday night. I know Barra meets on a Sunday night, and maybe if in non-meeting weeks there was a gathering of folks who wanted to get stuff done, that might be something worthwhile to discuss. But anyway, you know, a lot of people like family time on Sunday nights. Other people watch football. Other people, everybody else is kind of collapsed and they've got availability. So that might be another time to think about. All right. Very good. Anybody else have any thoughts? Hey, Howie, what's your comment? I apologize for missing that.
Okay, well, many people here have heard me wax on my noise problem. I have white noise. I've had it in two locations where I've lived, and additionally K2BIE, George, who has checked in, has the same thing. And let me just review in a very quick nutshell, if I can. White noise, about F8, disappears as you walk, or dissipates as you walk 10 to 30 feet away from the building. Yet, we have it at these three different locations, which are separated by a couple of thousand feet here in Tarrytown. Turning off my own circuit breakers does absolutely nothing. Tried this at both locations that I've been in, and again, does nothing. But in my rental apartment that I used to have, when there was a squirrel that would short the transformers and power would go out to the whole complex, the noise would disappear. Well, tonight we were without power for an hour and a half, and I hooked up the rig to the battery and put an antenna on, and no noise. I could hear signals down to F0, you know, and I thought that was interesting. So I called George on the landline, and he still had power, and asked him just to check what his power level was, and he told me it was down 2 F units from what it normally is. So I thought that was an interesting little piece of datum. Of course, you know, we'd like to get some reliability, you know, by multiple observations, but that's, you know, we don't get that many power outages that work this way. So that's my comment that, it disappeared here all my neighbors that I could see had no power. Building across the street had no power. And under those circumstances, I got no noise. Back to Net Control, this is K2EIR.
And how far is George from you?
I'd say about 2,000 feet. We're both in QRZ. My call, K2EIR, George, K2BIE. You can see what the Google Map shows.
George, are you in a private home or are you in a condo complex like Howie is? Maybe you can answer for him.
You have to run for the rig. I will answer it. He's in a condo. He's in a townhouse, and I'm in a garden apartment.
But they're different complexes.
Both, definitely.
And he did not lose power, but he still lost 2 S units worth of noise due to the power outage.
He presumed.
Interesting. Yeah, I know a couple of times when we've lost power, it's amazingly RF quiet around here. interesting thought. You know, most people don't realize this, but one of the reasons why 432 and 1296 EME are more popular in Europe than 2-meter EME is because of the amount of noise that's on the, you know, in the VHF spectrum in Europe. It's just patently ridiculous, and people just can't get enough signal again above the ambient noise threshold of man-made noise. So this is somewhat a similar indicator.
I see that here too, that we have it on 2 meters. I think it's amateur radio's biggest problem. The way the world has changed, noise is a big problem.
Well, Well, yes and no. It depends on what you do about it. And, you know, one of your solutions is very, very creative. You know, you talked about having a remote receiver as close as where you park your car. And that makes a dramatic improvement in your noise situation on receive. So that's pretty cool, Howie.
Except I have to implement it. And it'll be a while before I do.
Okay. Well, in due time. Anything else you want to add to the party?
Oh, that was it. Particularly since George was checking in, I wanted to publish that, but also for anyone who's been following it, and especially anyone with any keen interest, because I'm hoping someone will have a brainstorm and you know, the light bulb will light up and they will give me another solution. Locate the noise source kind of thing. You know, I figured it doesn't hurt to put it out here. You know, if you keep, you know, what is it, was it my uncle who said that, you know, if he said a couple of things, but if you don't say anything, nobody knows, right? And if you do, well, you might get someone who does. So that's where I'm coming from. W2TTT from K2EIR.
You know, there's an old adage that says, it's a hockey adage, but it applies to life in general. 100% of the shots you don't take will not go in the net. So, there you go. Good for you. And that's why we encourage participation on the net. Very, very good. Alrighty. Well, let's move on to Jim, WA2UMP. What's your pleasure, K2BAR?
Yeah, good evening, Gordon. I have a question. I've always been experimenting with indoor antennas. I don't have access to the roof, as I've mentioned before. I recently purchased a tri-band antenna. It's a 36-inch antenna that works on 442 meters and 220, of course. I found that by opening the upper part of my window, there's some metal in that upper frame, and I can place the antenna upside down, and the mag mount would stick to that. Unfortunately, it was only maybe a hair better than having it indoors. But my question is, and what I'm wondering about, what is the effect on the pattern of the antenna by turning it upside down? What's the change in the angle of radiation and general pattern? Back to you.
Okay, I'm not really sure. I mean, my gut feeling is if you have a window frame that's on both sides, it's going to probably make it somewhat directional and possibly detune it a little bit, but it's obviously going to radiate outward better and inward better than it will be left and right due to the presence of the metal frame, not to mention the rest of the structure. Someone else want to take a shot at that?
Is that a horizontal antenna?
It's a vertical antenna. I'm not sure if the metal propagates all the way around. It seems to be a vinyl window. It may be that the metal piece is just at the top, so it's an upside-down antenna with a ground plane. That's probably what it is. I'm not sure what that piece of metal is doing up there, but it is vertical, by the way.
Well, it's a vertical antenna. Must admit I don't know the answer. it's a vertical antenna. Does it have some kind of ground wires, ground radials supposedly attached to it, or anything like that?
Well, this is a standard mobile mount, so it has the mag mount, and the mag mount, the magnet sticks to the piece of metal, and it's basically a regular old-fashioned mobile antenna, but the whole thing has been turned upside down with the ground plane. It works. It's about, experimentally, seems to be about the same as if you turn it right side up or if I put it just on the other side of the window. But was wondering if anybody has modeled it or
had any clues as to what the what happens to the angle of radiation, et cetera, et cetera.
I must admit, I can't you put the ground plane on the bottom. It's hard to say. I would think that the radiation pattern would be sort of squeezed in. Because your ground, you have now ground on the bottom. All the vertical energy is now going into the ground. It looks like it's. I suspect it probably doesn't make too much difference for the type of operation. You're using it. It may have an effect. If you ever try to get any kind of a DX with it, just for using certainly anything where you want to use a ionosphere or something like that, you get some special ionosphere conditions, and you sometimes get DX at these highest frequencies. That I think would be thoroughly fouled up because vertical propagation is now down into the ground, so you'll lose that. But as far as line of sight type propagation, that is horizontal propagation, probably doesn't make a heck of a lot of difference. That's my guess. For what it's worth, this is a KF2ID with K2BAR.
Yeah, real quick question, Jim. This is a tri-band VHF, 2/2 24/40 antenna, right?
Yeah, UHF VHF. Interesting point about losing that rare skip off the ionosphere. Yes, it's UHF VHF, Gordon.
Yeah, let's be honest here. You're going to use it for FM. If you use it for single sideband, God bless you. But, unless you have some really outrageous openings, like ducting type stuff, you're not going to get much. And mostly that kind of antenna is going to be used on local FM and repeaters and stuff like that. So I think if you notice an improvement by having it outside, I recommend that you mount it outside and just leave it at that and don't overthink it. Take every incremental improvement that you can muster without compromising your ability to put an antenna outside at all.
Okay, I'm an experimenter. I experiment to the nth degree, so I may try turning it upside the other, putting it right side up on a cookie sheet and doing an A/B comparison too, just to see what the difference is. But your feedback is appreciated.
Okay, another thing, I'm going to refer you to this month's QST. There's an article on compact antennas, and it's rather amusing. One mobile mount was screwed into a metal mixing bowl. Another one was in a coffee can, and then someone just added wire radials just to, have it out there. So, there's lots of those kinds of opportunities to think about it. What's nice about the coffee can or that kind of mentality is it doesn't have to be a big can. But what's really splendid about it is that it protects the connector from abuse. If you're using a base connector underneath, the cable can go in, screw in, and protects the fitting. There's all sorts of opportunities. So do consider that.
Okay, I'll take a look at that article, and we'll continue to do a couple of experiments.
I would. There's all sorts of good stuff there. It seems Microsoft Update has taken over all my Windows based machines tonight and busily installing updates yet again. Twice in a week this has happened. So anyway, very good. Again, this month's QST seems to be in a sweet spot for this kind of thing. And I've done the cookie sheet thing. The one thing I've done, though, just FYI, is I've settled on the notion of it being directional. And in order to get a 19-inch or 20-inch radial point,
what I've done is put the mouth in the corner and not in the center. But if you're going to add radials, it doesn't matter. If you add radials, you can use any size cookie sheet you want. Or, you know, as I said, a coffee can or some tin can or whatever. The other thing you can consider is using, what do you call it, just a connector and with a flange-type connector and be done with it. Just to have one, you know, a vertical dipole out of it, and you'd be happy with that too. And you can put that on something really, really low key, like a piece of plastic, you know, black plastic sticking out your window, and that way no one would ever see it or be inclined to see it. It would be relatively low key, and you could paint it black and be done with it.
Good point. Now, you mentioned that by positioning the vertical antenna on the cookie sheet, it's directional. How do you know which sides, if you want to go in one direction or the other, what side of the cookie sheet do you put it on?
Wherever the most metal is, you're always going to have some, you know, shall we say, favoring of that direction.
All right, that raises some interesting possibilities, because most of the people that I talk with on 220 are southwest, so I might be able to position it on the cookie sheet a bit to get that type of direction, but we'll see. I'll try it.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have any comments?
W2ATP.
Hey, Paul, welcome aboard.
Yeah, from this question, I just had a quick chat with XYL. She threw her two cents into this. What she's saying is that if you turn your antenna upside down, at the end of the day, you're still going to have vertical polarization. It then comes down to what actually is going to happen with your ground plane from your radials. And from the most part, it's actually going to be negligible. But if it did actually have that big an impact at that point, then you would actually be looking at something called an aperture antenna. W2APP, back to that.
What an aperture it is. It also provides sunshine.
Okay. It's way beyond me.
Oh, he's putting it in a window. Go ahead, Jim.
All right, I think I missed the point about the aperture antenna and the ground plane. I'm not sure what effect you're speaking of.
I think basically what you're saying is you turn it upside down, you're going to have absolutely no effect.
Okay, basically what I'm noticing is that when I have a right side up on the inside, on the inside of the window, and turn it upside down and put it on the outside of the window, the improvement was negligible. Difference was negligible. Maybe there was a hair improvement in the signal-to-noise ratio because it was outside, but no real difference. So a little bit of a disappointment. I was expecting it that that piece of metal was so conveniently located. I thought it was a great find, only to, when I did the AB experiment, it was barely an improvement. One guy said it was a quarter of a bar better, you know, that type of thing. But we'll see. The experiments shall continue.
And that's probably accurate, by the way. You know, a fraction of an S unit, that's about right. Or S unit, or a fraction of an S unit or two, or whatever it is, per bar. Absolutely. The other thing is that you tend to be a little more ground plane independent if you're not using a quarter wave, if you're using like a 5/8 or something like that. There's a certain level of independence that is derived. I'm not saying autonomy from having a ground plane, because that gets into a religious war, but you'll certainly be able to get a match with virtually no ground plane in many cases if you have an extended element on the driven side.
Well, this is a 36-inch antenna, so it has it's 5/8 on 220, 2 5/8 on 440, and not sure on 2 meters. It's got to be longer than a quarter wave, though.
Yeah, my guess is it, it,